just another minute on your crying. We're nowhere near the end.
Yo, on a TV theme Thursday, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Hope you're having a fantastic Thursday.
Take it, Chase.
No.
That's a great show, man.
It's a good one for sure. We say hello now to our man Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Joins us every Thursday at 9:30. Greg, what's up? How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. It was that was a hell of a throwback theme right there. My goodness. We don't do good themes anymore, by the way. We do good opening credit sequences on HBO shows like, you know, House of the Dragon and stuff. We don't have good theme songs anymore.
Do you know why, Greg?
No. Do you know why?
Yes, because it carves up 30 to 45 seconds of content that they need for the show, so they stop doing themes. That's why the Office theme was one of the last themes that really became popular, because they said, we're going to play this theme, and they did.
See, but that's insane, because like the theme should be seen as part of the show. It gets you, like, one of my favorite themes of all time is Roseanne, okay? And so the Roseanne show, the opening credit sequence is probably like a minute long as it's going around the table and you're seeing all the characters. But like the song itself is so evocative of the vibe of the show. It's like blue collar family and they're all, you know, kind of a little bluesy and stuff. And like, it gets you in the right mindset for a show. So I don't know. I miss it.
Agreed.
100% agree with that. So, Greg, you wrote about Patrick Kane a couple of days ago and what may happen with him, that there could be, you know, eight teams or so interested in his services. Obviously underwent a hip resurfacing surgery after last season. And so that's delayed him. He's not on a team. What are you hearing and where could we see Kane end up?
Yeah, so they've begun the interview process this week. There's going to be about eight teams that he speaks with. Most of them, I think, are in the Eastern Conference, though I asked his agent, Pat Brisson, that, and he wouldn't confirm nor deny that's where his focus is. But, you know, we know that the Sabres have reached out. We know the Florida Panthers have been very interested. He's talked to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think there's a lot of interest in a potential connection with the Detroit Red Wings. So, you know, he's got these teams on his list, and Kane has always been about trying to wait this thing out as long as he can to see which teams could deliver him another Stanley Cup. And I mean, it's not simply just like where he'd want to play. And there are some interesting destinations and, you know, maybe a reunion with Alex DeBrincat, for example, in Detroit and some of those opportunities, but he wants to compete. He wants to win. He wants to get his name on the cup again. And then the other sort of sidebar to all this is, what does his contract look like? I mean, I remember reaching out to his camp in the summer, and it seemed very much like he wanted to sign for the rest of the season and then revisit free agency in the summer after everybody sees, in theory, that he's feeling okay. But if teams are stepping up with multi-year contracts, maybe that math changes for him. I don't know.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski. So Edmonton makes the coaching change, and I don't know if that's – you know, we know you got to do something with this team because they're a lot more talented. They bring in Chris Knobloch to be the head coach. What did you think about that move, and do you think that's going to fix things?
Well, I'm feeling great about it now because I picked them to win the cup, and look at them. They're on their way, baby. It's all fixed. No, I felt bad for Jay Woodcroft because their underlying numbers were good. Like, they were playing well when you look at things analytically, but the problem is that their goaltending was undercutting all of it. And it seemed like they were one of these teams, whenever they would make a defensive mistake, it ended up in the back of their net. But that being said, I mean, anybody who watched them lose to the San Jose Sharks in the game where it really kind of determined that Jay Woodcroft would be fired, knows that they needed to have some kind of change in vibe, maybe some kind of change in message behind the bench. You know, the Knobloch thing is hilarious because, you know, we all love a good behind the scenes story. And this guy was Connor McDavid's junior hockey coach. Connor McDavid's former agent now runs the Oilers. And like, there's this, you look at the situation and you can't help but think that the star player is the guy dictating who gets hired and fired as coach. Oh, and by the way, Paul Coffey is their assistant coach. And that guy was an advisor to the owner. So you've got in theory, again, the handpicked guy from your star player who coached him in junior as your head coach and then like a narc from ownership as the other guy on the bench. And it's just like one of these situations where you're like, wow, this looks really bad on the outside. And yet, you know, maybe it ends up working. They're playing pretty well right now.
Greg, is the are there more injuries at the start of the season you've seen before? The top two headlines are about injured NHL players. You know, Ryan McDonough's not playing here. He's injured. Is this just something different this year, or is this just the norm we see every single year?
Yeah, I mean, it obviously injuries are unpredictable. I mean, there's any manner and sort in which guys get hurt. I will say that it is a bummer, you know, some of these injuries that we're seeing off the hop. Obviously, the Devils are a team that a lot of people anticipated would be a real cup contender potentially this season, and they've been playing for the last maybe more than 2 weeks now without Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier, their top two centers. We just saw Tage Thompson for the Buffalo Sabres go out for probably, they're saying maybe, you know, less than 2 months, it seems like, but definitely over a month, it seems like, is what they're saying. So we're seeing, you know, the kinds of injuries that we probably see every year, but they seem incredibly impactful in the way that some teams are being affected by them.
Greg, on Saturday, Chicago rolls here to take on the Predators. It's a battle for last place in the Western Conference Central. You look at this team from afar. I mean, the Preds are just not playing up to what they should be playing right now. Is it a goaltending thing?
So I was looking at the Preds the other day, and I mean, first of all, obviously, middling special teams are always going to, you know, be a thing that'll subvert any good things you're doing. But they're one of these classic teams that right now their you know, real world output isn't matching what the analytics tell you they should be doing. I mean, analytically, this team is pretty darn good offensively as far as expected goals at 5-on-5. But then you look at their actual output at 5-on-5, and it's pretty bad. You know, same thing with the defense. And so you say to yourself, are these things that can turn around? Definitely. I mean, that's why you kind of look into the analytics of things, is to see where things should be and wonder why they're not there. And in the Preds case in particular, their shooting percentage right now is in the lower third of the league. And so, you know, shooting percentage, power plays, things like that, those are elastic. Like, those are stats that can be pretty bad for a few weeks and then snap into place and be pretty good for a month, you know? So my hope is still there that they can turn it around. I think it's a good roster. I think, you know, like we've talked about before, I think Andrew Brunette's a good coach. It's just a matter of kind of like waiting it out a little bit until these metrics start to turn around and hoping that you're still relevant in the standings by the time that they do.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. I know that the league has been meeting about overtime, the 3-on-3 overtime, and maybe making some tweaks to it. What are your thoughts on that, and what could we see in the near future?
Yeah, I was at the GM meetings in Toronto, and they're specifically talking about the 3-on-3 overtime, the fact that they're a little bit worried about there not being enough action. You know, there's too many times where teams circle back into their own zone and wait it out, and, you know, they're just skating around and not moving forward and attacking. So they've been talking about ways to maybe restrict teams going back into their own zone to regroup. They're talking about, you know, even the potential of like a shot clock where you have to clear your own zone in a certain amount of time or the other team gets the puck. But I mentioned this on our podcast, The Drop, today, that you can find on all the podcasts and platforms. I'm not convinced there's a problem. Like, the function of 3-on-3 overtime is to prevent shootouts. Like, that's why they invented it, the NHL, that they put it in because they didn't want games being ended in the shootout. They didn't want to get rid of the shootout because games have to end in some way, but they wanted to have less shootouts. And so if that's the aim of the 3-on-3 overtime, last season, 69% of the games that ended in a regulation tie ended before the shootout. That's the highest percentage we've had since the shootout was implemented. So if the function of the thing is to prevent shootouts, it's doing a pretty good job. And so I don't really care if these guys are lollygagging in their own end and there isn't like 100 shots during overtime. Eventually there is action in every overtime I watch. I think it's working as far as its function of preventing shootouts from having to decide these games.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. That's kind of how I look with this thing. They've gotten, I believe, what they wanted out of it. And I'm still one of those people that, like, maybe more so with the All-Star game, where I'm like, maybe it's a little too gimmicky. But for overtime, I do agree that I think it accomplishes what they wanted it to do.
Yeah, and for all the talk about there not being, like, a lot of action in overtime, if you look at the shots on goal on average in overtimes for the last, like, 7 or 8 years, you know, they've kind of been around the same number. You know, it's around two, maybe a slight decrease over the last couple of seasons, but nothing too dramatic. And again, like, if you watch these overtimes, they pass the eye test. Even the ones that are a little bit more cautious and deliberate, the minute somebody misses a shot, we're off to the races, like, every single time. It's not like the other team gets the puck and then they're waiting it out. They're going the other way real quick. So all it takes is someone to make one mistake or take one shot attempt that misses the net, and then you get that kinetic 3-on-3 overtime thing that I think the league really wants.
All right, Greg, before you go, November 16th at 9:42 Central Time, as of right now, who is the best team in the NHL?
Best team in the NHL right now, from the ones that I've seen and based on current record, I think you probably have to go with I still go with the Vegas Golden Knights over the Boston Bruins. I still worry that the Bruins, at the end of the day, might not have enough offense. Their defense is impeccable. They've got guys that can certainly put the puck in the net. But if I'm going to talk about which team is the deepest and most talented and can beat you in a number of different ways, I'm still probably going with Vegas over Boston at this point.
Okay, I tend to agree with you on that. Greg, good stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joins us. Talk some hockey with him every Thursday at 9:30. I do want to touch on Joe's question to Greg about goaltending.
Okay.
Because Barry Trotz was on with Jared yesterday, Predators general manager, and he did talk about the goaltending with his team right now. We'll discuss that coming up next. Plus, continue to take your texts on the team that you would ride with, that you believe is the greatest team ever, any sport that you would want to ride with. Got a lot of good votes and some interesting discussion. We'll get back into that as well here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, presented by Regal Realty Group on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.